Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. It's the Tony Perkins Show, featuring Gary Stein. No, they're not related. They're just good friends. It's Tony and Gary.
They don't know what I'm laughing at.
I have to take my headphones off for a second there. Hello, boys and girls. Oh, success!
I have never seen anybody take so long to untangle a headset. We almost didn't do the show today.
We've been delayed 10 minutes. Thank God we're not live on the radio or anything. No. As I try to detangle my headphone cord. But success, look at this.
Yes, but what would have happened if you didn't untangle it? Would it have ruined your day?
It wouldn't have ruined my day, but it would have, several times during the episode, you would have found, I would have been distracted because I would start trying to
untangle. Wait. I know you really, really well. I think if you didn't untangle it, it would have ruined my day.
Yes, that's possibly true.
We know each other too well.
I know, that's sad. You know what? I do want to ask you a question.
Here,
first,
please.
Let me officially introduce the show.
Go ahead.
Hey there, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. It's the Tony Perkins Show featuring Gary Stein, which I think Dude Walker already said. For our purposes, we're going to start just calling it the Tony and Gary Show. It has the official name.
You didn't tell me that.
Yeah, it's just quicker, it's easier, and it's better that way. So, all right.
This is what people don't know about you.
Yeah.
I'm getting teary.
Don't get too teary.
I'm tearing up.
No, don't tear up.
You'll find a way to punish me.
And it is episode number 30.
Yeah. Woo!
That is a milestone. 31 if you include the Celebrity Showcase, but we don't because it's a 30th brand new episode, all new content.
That's right.
Thank you for hanging in there with us. I'm Tony.
I'm Gary.
We are joined by Rob Ford.
Hey, hey, hey.
Hello, Rob.
Hey, those are some good looking coils you have worked out over there.
It was all tangled up, and I can't understand how some things get so tangled up.
Boy.
I know, really.
You know what? Go with it. Go with it.
No.
You want everybody to know something about you? This is really a good thing to do because this is very...
I like order. I like order.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I still had the headphones on. I could still do what I was doing, but I didn't like the tangled thing there. So
I think this is related to the Christmas-like conundrum.
Which was what? What was the Christmas?
Well, you put the Christmas lights back in the box, and every year you open them back up, and...
Yeah.
They're always way tangled up.
How does that happen?
Yeah, we put them away so nicely.
We do.
So do we.
Well, what goes on during the course of the year that they get all
elves.
Tangled up?
And
elves
that's the conundrum.
Elves. They go in and they say, let's see if they can do it this year.
Right, that's right. And you know, every year it's like, I swore I'd put them around the thing, that the wheel, and you know.
Yeah.
I hate Christmas lights.
I do too. I do too. And I have actually done this where I can't untangle them and I go buy new ones.
Well, we've gotten close to that. Every year there are some uncomfortable moments because my wife, you've seen our house at Christmas, fully decorated. And it's beautiful. And I love that we do it. She's in charge of it. She does the bulk of it. There are some things that I have to do.
Yeah, but it's really, you should not make her climb on the roof.
No,
you know,
no,
I saw her do that. And I thought, you know, she could get really stuck in the gutters and everything.
She actually broke her ankle a few years ago. You remember this?
Yeah.
Decorating. But it was nothing. It was one of the trees outside. And I said, honey, get out of that tree. No.
Yeah.
She broke her ankle. It was terrible. Just she missed a step. She's stepping off of our stoop. She wasn't on a ladder or anything. She just missed. It's two steps.
Oh, man.
She missed it and broke her ankle.
She decked the halls, but the halls decked her back.
Yes, they did.
I was there, and what Rhonda didn't see was Tony give her a little push.
No, I would not do that. But we do decorate. She goes all out. And every year, there is a period where I'm a little grumpy, where I'm like, do we... What was that reaction?
What day is this? You know what I want to find? I want to find the one day during the year when you're not grumpy.
Oh, come on. People, you overestimate my...
Your grumpiness.
Yeah,
over...
You know what? I admit I'm...
You're grumpy.
I can be grumpy.
You're a little moody. But, you know, you get out of it easily.
And you bring me out of it. I will say that. There are times where I'm grumpy you know, Gary makes a trip. We've established that. Gary comes down from the New York, New Jersey area to come to Washington to do the podcast, which is fantastic. Doesn't have to do that because we could be in two different cities and do this, but we both cherish being together, being able to look at each other and all of that. It's very important.
I also think the show would suffer. I do.
I do too.
I think even if it suffered 10%.
Yeah.
Because we're not in the same room.
Right.
We play off each other, and
right.
I know I'd see you on Skype, but it's not good enough.
It's not the same thing.
So it is kind of ridiculous that I take the train every 2 weeks, but I do think it's better for the show, and frankly, we like to hang together.
And here's what's bad, which I think I apologized for recently, but I will apologize for it now. Gary travels down, and he usually gets on a Friday, sometimes on a Thursday if we're doing a TV thing together, but he comes down. And when he walks into the office or when I walk in and he's already there.
At Fox 5.
At Fox 5. I'm sometimes not in a good mood. And I'm sure, you know, the greeting is not what he would hope for. And I apologize for
that. That's okay.
It has nothing to do with you, usually. one of the great things about Gary is he does bring me out of it. We have a good time together.
Yeah, we do.
We've helped each other, I think, at times.
We have, because listen, both of us have had, you know, sometimes we have a really bad week.
Yeah.
You know, stressful week, and we get together and we start joking and it basically goes away.
And I don't know if we have said this on the, now again, we're off on a tangent that is not this
really
is nothing that we plan to
no,
talk about.
No,
but
no.
One of the great things about Good Morning America, and I think things happen for a reason. I think we were brought together for a reason because Good Morning America, as we've said, was great. And it was also very bad sometimes. And we had some very high highs, very low lows. Our existence there could be difficult because we weren't the main concern of the show and the producers. And I think sometimes they felt like we were pests because we wanted to do different things.
The way I like to look at it is sometimes they really didn't give a crap about us.
That is sadly true. Other times they did.
Yeah.
Sometimes they didn't.
Right.
So it was a struggle at times. But throughout whatever we were going through, good times, bad times, out in the middle of hurricane coverage, I mean, in the worst weather conditions you could imagine, we always made each other laugh. We could be in some of the toughest situations you could be in, but we would observe something or see something.
Somebody would walk by,
we'd just look at each other and start laughing, or he'd say, why would she make that choice? And we would be off on a tangent.
But we did lead a schizophrenic life because we could very easily do a segment in the studio that we loved called Stupid.com,
yeah,
which was about the dumbest, poorly thought out toys.
Yeah.
And
we would
feature them. And the very next day we could be off of Katrina.
Yeah.
We're doing comedy and then we'd be off somewhere in a very dangerous situation.
Yeah.
Where people are getting hurt.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know if I've told this story on the show. Gary will know what I'm talking about. One night we had covered the this is back about 10 years ago. There were the VH1 Divas concerts where you would have Mariah Carey and I mean all kinds of, you know,
Celine
Diana
Dion,
Ross.
Whitney Houston.
Yeah. It was amazing.
Okay.
So then they tried to do the Devo concerts
right.
with, I think they only did one.
But they did huge stars.
Oh, Elton John was there.
Tom Jones was there.
Was Tom Jones there?
I think so.
Wow. I mean, who's Enrique Iglesias
yes.
probably
yeah.
was there.
Yes.
So, you know, and we...
One of the boy bands was there. One of the teen idol
yeah,
bands.
Yeah, NSYNC or somebody.
Yeah.
So it was a big show that we were assigned to cover. And I don't know what we had been going through. Maybe you remember. We weren't in particularly good moods. You know, I think it was one of those periods where we kept pitching stuff. Nothing would fly
right.
and get accepted. Then we were told we had to go do this, and I didn't want to do it.
No, and I'll tell you a little bit about why you didn't want to do it. It's because this was really no better than a red carpet arrival event where
right.
we would go. We didn't have scheduled interviews with people.
That's right.
And it was up to us to figure out how to weasel our way in to get to talk to people. And
right.
some of it would be slightly pre-booked, but not really.
Right.
And we just felt like...
And we had to make it into something that it was going to be hard to make it into.
And
if it wasn't that, they would be dissatisfied.
They would be very upset. Right. And I knew that I had to create a piece overnight that was going to air the next day
right.
as a tape package of something that we were going to have to struggle for.
Right.
So we were not in a great mood.
Right. And I was in a terrible mood.
Yeah, Tony was in a terrible mood.
I was in a foul mood. I still feel bad about it when I think about it. I get there at the whatever theater it was in New York, some great theater. And I meet Gary there, and we're talking a little bit, and I'm in a terrible, terrible mood. It's very unfair to Gary, really, and which I know now, but I was just in a terrible mood.
I remember I started telling you what we have.
Yeah, here's what
we have here, and I could see on your face, like, yeah.
I said,
here's
care.
What I think we can do. Here's right. what, and he's going, like, I just want to get out of here.
Right.
Let's not even do this.
So Gary.
Oh, wow.
So Gary says, I'm going to come up with some of the questions that we can ask some of these people, and he goes off. And he comes back, and he says, these are the questions I thought of. And he puts them in my lap, and I start to read them. I don't remember most of them. I can't say what any of them were, because they were the dirtiest, particularly of Elton John, who we thought, if we get a moment with Elton John,
here's
what you should ask. And I can't repeat it. They were the most insane, vulgar, hysterical questions. And I started laughing. I have always remembered this because that was one of the foulest moods I think I was ever in.
Yeah, it was
Good
pretty
Morning
bad.
America.
It was pretty bad.
And he walks away, comes back, gives me this list. And it brought me out of it.
I don't know
funny.
If you remember, we created a pretty good piece.
I don't even remember. What I remember is that.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that. You know, it's very important to be able to make each other laugh.
Absolutely.
Sometimes.
Absolutely.
And I'm getting a little choked up. I'm sorry about that.
We've talked about how long we've known each other, and you figure out each other's little picadillos.
Yeah.
And he could get me out of a bad mood, and I could get him out of a bad mood, but it was mostly my job, because I was Tony's producer, to make sure that he was at his best. And that was my job every day.
Yeah. And you know what? And we've said this, our relationship, because of, you know, when I met my wife, she was between jobs. She was not working. So we got to see each other a lot over a short period of time. Our relationship developed very quickly because it wasn't like a typical where you date somebody, I'll see them Friday night or Saturday night. Over a period of months. We saw each other a lot in a short period of time.
Uh-huh.
So it became an intense relationship relatively quickly. Gary and I, because we were in such a pressure cooker situation, not meaning it was bad all the time,
no.
but, you know, it's
it
Good Morning
always
America.
Urgent.
Always urgent, yeah. And you're always, you know, there was some, listen, we're working with Diane Sawyer and Charlie Gibson, you know, and Robin Roberts. And so that show had to fire on all cylinders, be the best that it could be every day, which is, you know, that's pressure. It's demanding for everybody.
Right.
And luckily, I think we met that challenge most of the time.
We did.
But it's a pressure situation. And you and I went through so much together in a relatively short period of time. Of course, it went longer and longer the longer we were there. But that relationship really developed very quickly.
Yeah.
And fortunately, we were kind of like-minded about some things.
Yes.
So it really made for, it was almost like a marriage. You know, it sounds funny to say that, but it was almost like a marriage. So there were times where I was the grumpy husband. And, you know, I'm not putting you in the wife role.
I guess I'm the woman here. And all of this is coming up on Valentine's Day.
Well, oh, wow.
You know, maybe that's why I'm emotional.
Oh,
maybe that's why I'm emotional. I forgot about that. Happy Valentine's Day, dear.
To you too, dear. I brung you some flowers. But, look, we needed to.
Do you hear what he's playing? Thank you, Rob. Thank you. This is actually quite appropriate.
Well, you know.
Yeah. Captain Antonio.
And I'm old-timey.
Yeah. See, what we did this in the last episode. This is what we're doing to Rob.
Oh,
this is
man.
What we're doing. Rob, you need to not hang around us so
I know.
Much.
We're giving Rob an education in old-timey.
It is funny. This is now old timey.
Really?
Yeah. You were gonna. Let me just finish this. We were almost like husband and wife, and I mean that in terms of you're together through thick and thin.
Yes.
There are good days. There are bad days. Some days you're in a bad mood, and I need to cheer you up. Some days I'm in a bad mood. He needs to cheer me up. I will confess that it was usually me in the bad mood, I think. But man, I saw you a couple of times. There were some times where you were angry, and man, you were. That was.
Well, but the times you're talking about, I know what you're referring to, because it takes me a long time to boil over. When I boil, I boil.
Yeah.
And it had to do with the work.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it wasn't about us. It was, you know, I said a certain segment wasn't going to work well. Yeah. And I tried to get our executive producer to let us do something else because I did all of my pre-production work. Mm-hmm. And I said to her, this is not a good segment.
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't stop anything. We flew to Detroit. We went and we did the segment, and then afterwards, she was yelling at me that the segment was bad, and I just gave it back. Boy, I was furious. And Tony said he had never heard me mad before.
Well, I gave you your room. We were in the car going back to the hotel or whatever afterwards, and he was furious, and I just kind of let him breathe and, you know, do what he had to do, get through it. But very interesting times.
It was very interesting times.
Anyway.
I'm enjoying this a lot more, though.
Well, me too. Yeah. Isn't this great? Isn't this great?
This is the best.
So, yeah.
This is the best.
Happy Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day to you, Rob.
Happy Valentine's Day.
I'm not going to ask you anything about what's going on with the dating. I'm going to leave it. You know, maybe next week we'll check in again.
Okay, sounds good.
I mean, I think we should leave it alone. Was there a liftoff?
I'm hoping no, because I want this to, I don't want it to go too fast.
We're not really involved.
No, I know, but I want it to
see. We're going to the church's ice cream social next weekend, so this should be a great time.
The ice cream social.
Are you? Yeah.
The ice cream social. Listen to him. We're ruining him.
I know we are.
We're ruining
him. Can we just peer in through the window?
No, that would be creepy. Oh, at the ice cream social?
Yeah,
oh,
sure. What do you think I meant?
You know what? Let's
Motel
get in there.
Motel 6?
Let's get in there, and it's Motel 6.
I said Motel 6.
I thought you said hotel.
No.
All right.
That's a knockoff.
This is when the hearing starts to go.
Happy Valentine's Day to all of you out there who are celebrating, and we hope you have. Hey, this is a great way to break the ice with your significant other. Listen to this show.
You know, if we're a lot like Sinatra, probably, where people are listening to us while they're doing a certain something.
Wow.
Yeah, wouldn't that be, like, really sick?
You know what? Just in case they are, let's narrate it for a moment.
Okay. All right.
That's a good move. That's a good move. Yeah.
Wait. Not so fast.
No, not so fast. Slow down.
Oh, you're losing her.
All right. Get her back. Get her back.
Yeah, she likes the caress.
No, not with the fingers. No poking. Come on. Caress.
Right down the backbone. Yeah, there you go.
There you go. Nice. All right. Oh, what are you wearing? Why you got the women's underwear on? This is ruining.
What are you grabbing a Diet Coke for? You haven't gotten anywhere yet.
Come on.
This isn't the way you do it.
You're blowing it.
Oh, man.
All right, it's over.
We have to give some love.
Electric cigarette doesn't have the same effect.
Yeah, do you get an e-cigarette now after you?
You scared me with the whole reference with the finger. I got really nervous there and thought, well, this is a show we can't air.
No, I meant it in the most polite way.
Yeah, right.
Don't forget, tell your friends, subscribe to the Tony Perkins Show featuring Gary Stein on iTunes Podcast. It's the best way to get the show. It downloads instantly every Saturday as soon as it becomes available.
Well, whether you like it or not.
That's right. And it's free.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's the best part about it.
All right. Let's see. Let's start the show. just a couple of little things that I want to talk about. Nothing. It's not a big topic or anything. Just little, you know, we both go through the week and you observe things and you jot things down. Say,
right.
Okay, this is
right.
Interesting. All right. Two things.
You tell it and then I'll decide.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Advertisements. I always think advertisements are funny or interesting or weird. There's an ad. I didn't write this one down, but there's an ad that's running on our station at Fox 5 all the time for Chantix. Which is, if you're trying to stop smoking,
yes,
Chantix. And I, to be honest, I don't know if it's a pill or a patch. I don't really know what it is, but it's a medicine that you take if you're trying to get over smoking. And they have some testimonials from people. Now that I use Chantix, I'm blah, blah, blah. It's fantastic. I don't smoke.
Don't have sex anymore.
Right. Well, you might not, because as with most of the ads for the medicines, you know, they now are forced to say the side effects and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, I love that.
I'm not a smoker.
Right, I'm not either.
I've always been against smoking. Right. I don't. I think it's a terrible thing to do. Quit if you can. But
you should give up crack.
Well, what I see, I don't consider that smoking. It's a different kind of thing.
Right. Very different.
But when I see the ad, I always listen to it, and I'm usually at the anchor desk, and we're in a commercial break, and I always say, I would keep smoking as opposed to switching to this drug. Yeah.
Not worth the risk.
The drug can make your eye fall out.
One of the possible symptoms is death, of course.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Happens in rare cases, I think. But you know what?
Death is possible.
Don't want to take that risk.
No. What's rare?
Please define for me, because even one out of 100,000, I don't want to take that chance.
No, not at all. No.
Yeah. And some of the other symptoms are, like your leg falls off or, I'm not seriously, but crazy stuff that you would never, hallucinations.
Yes.
Suicidal thoughts.
Right.
And tendencies.
Yes. Severe depression.
Severe depression. You don't get that from smoking.
No. Cartoons are slightly less funnier.
Right. Imagine if they slipped that in just to see if people were listening.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's for Chantix. Here's an ad that I saw in Parade magazine.
What are you reading that for?
I don't know.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Does that indicate?
Well, I think you might want to call Dr. Brunswick.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because this is like practically close to reading Reader's Digest, right?
The Inquirer.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh no. Parade's not like the Inquirer. Parade's very feel good and
a lot of fluff.
It's
people. It's like people, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's even fluffier.
Okay.
You know, there's nothing bad in Parade magazine.
Right.
It's always, they talk to celebrities. There's no mention of any of the scandals they've been through or anything
like that.
Well, good,
because no one wants to be a fluffer.
No, you don't. Look that one up, folks. Here's an ad in the one of the most recent Parade magazines. Here's the headline. Grandma, your breath stinks.
Oh, man. Wow.
There it is. Grandma, your breath stinks. And now I'm going to read some of it for you.
Okay.
My grandchildren are my pride and joy. One of the charming things about young children is they're painfully honest. Months ago, when reading a story to my 4-year-old granddaughter, she looked away and said that my breath was stinky. I didn't think much of it until it happened again the next week, and it wasn't long after I had brushed my teeth. I've always kept up with oral hygiene, so bad breath wasn't something I worried about. I didn't notice it myself, but I asked my dentist about it soon after. Okay, so this is supposed to be from a grandmother.
Does grandma clean herself the way dogs do?
That could explain it.
Good.
Oh, no, she's got a whole routine in here.
Yeah.
Now, first of all, I thought it was funny. Grandma, your breath stinks.
Yeah.
And that this is supposed to be a letter that a grandma has written. Look how long this thing is.
Oh.
And I'm not going to read the whole thing. Did
she really have the time to do that?
Well, and here's where it starts to feel like, I don't think this is grandma. Oh,
okay.
I went to my dentist. According to him, bad breath is very common in seniors. Like every other kind of health, our oral health declines with age. One of the major problems is that less saliva is produced as we get older, and a number of medications make that problem much worse.
And we're rotting inside. We're getting old and we're spoiling like bad fruit.
In a sense, that's kind of what is happening, actually. Saliva acts as a natural mouth rinse, clearing away bacteria and food products. Okay, this
All
is
right.
not grandma writing anymore. Mm. This is obviously an ad man or a doctor with all these facts and, as it goes into...
Really into saliva. A lot of saliva talk.
There's more saliva talk in here. Yeah. On top of this, we've got dentures, receding gums, oral problems from diabetes and more. It's no wonder I had bad breath. I expected to say, in fact, after learning this, I wanted to off myself.
That's right. Really, that's how I'm feeling right now, because I can't wait to get old.
As she's reading the letter, she's tying the knot for a hang noose or something like that.
Before you get to the end of it. Yeah. And so I bid you farewell, dear granddaughter. Anyway, I just thought it was very funny.
I'm sitting here in my Depends writing about how my breath stinks.
I should mention the product, I guess. Smart Mouth Advanced Clinical Formula.
I use Smart Mouth.
Do you really?
I think it's the best mouthwash I've ever heard of.
So let me ask you, because I read the whole thing, and we all occasionally, I
never have. I just do it just to
just
preventative.
Just in case. Yesterday I think I might have bad breath. Huh. How come you can't tell if you have bad breath?
Well, because it's really hard to smell yourself.
But why? Your nose is right there. Why? How come you could walk around all day not knowing until someone says?
This brings us right back to the creation show.
Yeah.
First of all, there shouldn't be bad breath.
Right.
And secondly, if there is, there should be a very convenient way for us to check it.
Yeah.
He did not provide that.
No. With the nose right there.
Especially mine.
Yeah, you should detect many people's bad breath.
I should be, from where we are right now, I should be able to tell if people have bad breath in California.
What if your uvula had nostrils?
Oh, the uvula is in the back.
The dangling.
Yeah, you were
dangling
thinking
down.
About another part.
Yeah, you were
in different zone.
You can spell vulva with uvula.
Yeah, you can.
Right? Isn't it the same letters just mixed up?
Is that an ad?
An anagram.
And it's an anagram. Ah. You're so smart. I'm so glad Rob is here.
Yeah, me too.
So, Smart Mouth, do you mix two things together?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
So you use this?
Yes, I do.
Wow.
I used it because
it doesn't work at all. I'm kidding.
It took a second to get that joke. It doesn't. Yeah, but only one of us complained about recently thinking he had bad breath.
Yesterday, I did think I had bad breath.
You squirt four shots into a little cup of one bottle and four shots of the other, and you gargle for a minute. And I knew somebody who used it who did have bad breath, and they didn't anymore.
Okay,
and
well,
so
good.
It really is. We sound like a commercial.
Why shouldn't they
be our sponsor?
Sure, you know what?
Smart Mouth.
I
use it. I'm a user.
And you know, I'm going to try it. I read the whole thing, and bad breath is not something anybody wants. I live in fear of it, and you know, it does happen sometimes. So
here's what I heard about Smart Mouth that made me try it.
Okay.
I was told...
This does sound like a testimonial, but go ahead.
It does. It does.
Get with it here. We'll do that. Gary.
Yes.
What made you try Smart Mouth?
Well, Tony, let me tell you why I decided to use Smart Mouth.
You're not an invalid.
I'm just trying to be a non-professional. I'm just trying...
Speaking of normal voice.
I had Tourette's or something?
Next, can we have the other one?
Next auditioner?
We want someone natural.
I didn't want to sound so glib.
Okay.
Okay, I'll tell you why.
Okay.
You know, boy, why don't you just try to ruin Valentine's Day for me? You know, he bought me chocolates, and then he, like, takes it away, you know? It's like, so I used it because one of the ads said, here's another thing that should not happen.
Okay.
There should be no such thing as morning breath. You should wake up fresh as a daisy.
Yeah.
And you wake up wondering whether or not you stink a little because your mouth has been open or closed all night, whichever, I don't know.
Right.
But it certainly hasn't been operating. Your mouth has not been operating.
No, it hasn't been doing anything.
So they say that if you use Smart Mouth, you will not wake up with bad breath.
Oh.
And guess what?
You don't.
I'm fresh as a daisy.
Oh, really? Your wife has said this is fantastic?
No, the dog did. He didn't leave the room.
And the dog, boy, if the dog was leaving the room, that's pretty bad.
Oh, wow.
I actually don't wake up with a bad taste in my mouth.
That's excellent.
Isn't that amazing?
That is good. I'm going to try it.
Smart Mouth, sponsor us.
Smart Mouth Advanced Clinical Formula. All right. One more ad I want to read to you. This is a vintage.
No, I'm done.
What, can I tell you something?
Yes.
My lovely wife.
Yes. All right.
Gave this to me.
Don't get angry. She said,
this is something you might want to talk about. And I was rather surprised.
Yeah, and if you didn't like it, you would still talk about it.
How often does she come to you with that?
Not that often.
Well, okay.
Well, you know
good.
What? Actually, I will say this. Almost every week, she gives me at least a couple of things.
Oh, okay.
Which isn't that wonderful?
That's great.
That she has found on the internet or what have you. Sometimes we use them, sometimes we don't.
Right.
And she said, she handed this to me, said, I think this might be something you'll want to use.
I think it's fantastic, and especially since only a week ago she found out you were a news anchor.
That's very
funny.
She has
asked me so many times, what does he do for a living?
What is it? Where
he's
he
gone a lot.
Yeah. Does he have a job? These are vintage ads for Lysol.
Oh, you know I'll love that.
Yeah, for Lysol.
Okay.
Do you know what Lysol used to be used for?
No, I don't.
Here's one ad directed at the ladies. You can still be the girl he married.
Oh, boy.
You want to freshen things up and make sure you're not driving hubby away?
Gargle with Lysol.
Well,
no.
Don't gargle.
What?
You use it at the other end.
No!
Lysol as
a whole different kind of cleaner.
As a feminine hygiene product.
Oh.
It used to be, I mean, it did, I think, all the other things it does, but also was recommended as a feminine hygiene.
But you probably didn't put it on with a mop. I mean, was it with a mop and a bucket?
No. Well, if you need it that much, you should see a doctor.
And you've been very busy.
Kills 99.9%.
I did not. You know what? I did not know that.
Yeah, Lysol. The print is so small here. A concentrated germ killer. Folks, I'll use the word once. I don't really like to use the word. Yes, they were selling it as a douche. They really were. That's not a bad word.
No,
what were they selling it as?
As a douche.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
I said I would only say it once, Rob. Look at the pictures that they
were. I don't know about the Lysol, but I've met a lot of douches in my life.
That's how you can use it. I believe in broadcasting, you can say, hey, did you try this douche? But you can't call somebody.
Okay, how about if I say, you know what? This douche tried this douche.
No, you can't say that.
Why?
We can say it because we're a podcast, I believe.
Yeah, I think we can check with Michael Mirren.
Yeah.
Well, we'll hear the episode. I want to keep it in. But I want to keep it in. That's what this ad is about. If you want him to keep it in, need to.
Oh, look where you're going.
That's what the ad is about. Look at this. It's so sexist.
Oh, but you're not writing the taste line there, are you?
It's so sexist. Here's a woman who has been locked out of her house in the ad. Please, Dave, please don't let me be locked out from you, she's saying. Because Dave, her husband, is saying, no more. I can take no more. You have to clean up.
And then the next day, he lost his job at the seafood counter.
Oh, my God. Dave,
ouch.
Dave, we need to talk to you.
Dave, you got a problem.
I mean, I know.
You know when dogs are following you.
Oh, this is awful.
How about cats? Cats following you. It's not a good thing.
I'm pointing out how sexist and outrageous these ads were. Here's one where Dave, or the husband, is putting the wife's coat on her. They're having to leave a party. And she's upset. You always want to leave. And then the copy explains, because it's embarrassing, dear.
He never has a second cup of coffee.
You remember those ads, too? Yeah. Still be the girl he married.
Stink like fish. Be the girl he married. That's what the ad should say.
There's a love quiz that the woman can ask herself.
Do I stink?
So there is this blind man, right?
Oh, we know that joke. It's one of the oldest jokes
Rob
ever.
Ford used to work on the show.
This is one of the oldest jokes ever. And listen, we're not saying that's a problem now.
No.
I mean, it could be, but, you know, women take care of themselves now. And I would imagine it was pretty rough back in the day before they invented things. But I don't know. I can't imagine what Lysol was doing to your body parts. That can't have been a smart thing to do.
It had to. Maybe it ruined. I mean, did it make women sterile? Did it make them?
I don't know.
About a pretty heavy-duty product.
Yeah.
going into a pretty sensitive area.
Yes, that's why
Lysol?
Right. You know, we'll have to. I'll do some further homework on that.
I mean, maybe they also use Mr. Clean.
I was just. That is
really?
So. I was just thinking Mr. Clean.
You see, we. You know what? Sick minds think alike.
Or they would call it Mrs. Clean.
Mrs. Clean.
They'd have a bald woman on the front of the bottle.
Yeah, that's because the hair was burned off.
Maybe that's how that started.
Mm. Oh, boy.
And then they invented the razor.
Right, that's right.
So there was a blind man.
All right, that's it. Those are the ads that I wanted to
bring
up.
I got a title for the show.
What's that?
The Show That Can't Air.
The Show That Can't Air. I'm going to write that down. I think we were okay until you made your comment about
it. Yo, it's always my fault. Always my fault.
It's Tony and Gary. The Tony Perkins Show.
It's the Tony and Gary Show. You know what? I'm going to stick to that like white on rice.
It's not the official name, but it's the name we use within the show.
It's our little special name.
Yes. Here we go.
It's Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day again.
Yeah.
Keep that song nearby, Rob. We're going to need that all day today. Yeah. Yeah. You know who wrote this?
Wait. No.
No? Yes, you do. Listen, listen. He was big.
Paul Williams?
No. He was big in the 50s and early 60s, and then a huge comeback in the 70s.
Neil Sedaka.
That's absolutely right. Very good. Very good.
What was the song that he did the redo of?
Breaking Up Is Hard to Do.
And the second time, I don't think it's ever happened before. Wasn't it bigger than the first?
Yes, and because
He
slowed it down. The first time was fast.
Right.
The second time was slow. It was an even bigger hit in the 70s than it was in the early 60s.
You see how we can go everywhere?
Isn't that amazing?
Do you see what we did there?
Yep. He was good. I like Neil Sedaka.
Okay, now I got to bring a little something.
Yes, sir.
A little something.
Yes.
Now, I don't know if you've seen this. So you'll have to make believe that you didn't if you did.
Okay.
But it will really aggravate you, I hope, because it was something. It was in the National Post.
Okay.
But it was a little while ago. It was in December. We are a very strange society,
mm-hmm.
and we have gotten PC in a way that I think is very destructive. I think that either extreme, you know, where everything is fine and where we have restrictions on things that don't need to be restricted.
I agree.
So here's the title of an article I found. Harvard students want to learn the law without discussing upsetting crimes.
Oh, you got to be kidding.
Rape is too upsetting to be discussed in law school. So some teachers have actually agreed to make it a little more palatable to listen to some cases so that they don't upset their students.
Oh, you got
to
be kidding
now that,
me.
Doesn't that mean then that a lawyer coming out of law school is going to say, I'm sorry, I can't take on that rape case? I don't want to upset myself.
Yeah, you know, this is
wow.
Listen, you've got to be tough. If you're going to be a lawyer, you're going to handle all kinds of different things. Well, you can't kind of pick and choose.
Maybe not. Maybe you say, "You know what? I want to join your law firm, but I don't do rape, murder, kidnapping, drug addiction, or anything really unpleasant." If you have a case for me where like maybe it can all end really well and there isn't bad language being used, I'd like to take that on. I mean, really, what are they?
So now, let me ask.
What are they talking about?
Did the students go to the administration and say, you know what, we'd rather not deal with those topics? And
some
they
did.
Acquiesced?
Yes.
Wow.
Here's some of the articles. Some U.S. law students want their professors to eliminate rape law from the curriculum on the grounds that it's too traumatizing.
Oh, my goodness. What is happening to
about
us?
About a dozen new teachers of criminal law at multiple institutions have told the author of this article that they are not including rape law in their courses, arguing it's not worth the risk of discomfort by students. So will law firms excuse lawyers from handling rape crimes because they skipped class that day?
This is crazy. This is crazy. Now, you know what? This is at Harvard?
Yeah, well, it says Harvard students want to... Right.
Also in December at Harvard, this is true, and this was a little controversial. There's like a black law students union or something like that. The African American students. They went to administrators at Harvard, and I think it happened at a couple of other schools too, maybe Columbia, I'm not sure. I know Harvard was involved, and said, look, the events that have been happening in Ferguson and in New York with that killing and that non-indictment there.
Right.
The law students said, this has been traumatizing, and we would like to have our exams delayed.
Because we need to get over the trauma?
We need to get over the
so
trauma.
So you're
going to
be
these...
a great courtroom lawyer, aren't you?
I know. And they acquiesced in that case, too. And I thought, wow, that's kind of a crazy precedent to set for you personally and for the school. I mean, because anybody could come up and say, hey, you know what?
Okay, so I'm a lawyer in the courtroom. Your Honor, I ask that the word rape be stricken from the record because the witness just used the word and I can't hear that.
That's crazy.
What are we talking about?
How are you? I mean, you have to be able to handle anything if you're a lawyer.
Well, now, we just said before that no extreme is good, right? So it's just as bad for me to say, look, all I want to do is handle rape cases.
Well,
please.
Then that raises another eyebrow.
Well,
excuse me, I want to be specialized in those.
Yeah, right. I wouldn't let that person be a lawyer. I only do murders.
Right.
I only want to do murders.
That's right.
You know, anything that's like they survived at the end, I can't take that on.
We are becoming, what's the word, coddled? We're is that, that's the word,
We
right?
are coddling, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, there's too much of that. And you know, I hear a lot of people say, we're becoming weaker for that. I understand when there are circumstances that are really, really tough. And if you've personally gone through something and you need some time or what have you, I get that. But on this large scale, you know, it's troubling to me.
I'll tell you something. If somebody I was related to, God forbid, or somebody I knew really well was raped and they then, you know, there was a trial. Mm-hmm. I want that word used every 30 seconds.
Absolutely.
You know, could you imagine? So we hire a lawyer who can't say it?
Right. this sounds like a comedy room.
I know.
In a movie or something.
Look, I know that you were, let me write the word down.
Right.
And I will represent you.
Right.
But just understand, I won't be able to talk about it in any detail because I get very upset.
Right. You know what?
You're hired.
You're right. Exactly. And it's a fair question to me. If you're a law student and you're applying for, or let's say you pass the bar exam and you're applying for a job at a law firm or something, to me it's a fair question if they ask you, let me ask you, were you part of this group at Harvard that couldn't take your exams because of what happened in Ferguson? Or are you one of these students who didn't really want to hear the word rape in your law class?
Oh, sir, I plead the fifth. You're hired.
Yeah, well, you're right.
You know how the law works.
You know how the law works. That's right. That could happen.
I got just, the top 10 down.
Right.
So imagine, right. I saw that, and I saw the headline, and I thought, really? Are you kidding me? And some lawyer friends commented on it and mm-hmm. said, where are we going?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
don't be a trial lawyer
right.
if you don't want to be.
Right. If you can't handle the heavy stuff.
Be a corporate lawyer. Yeah. Go, you know, but really. And to have any teacher say that they're willing to acquiesce to those feelings and demands because we're so sensitive now.
Yeah.
How reputable are they?
Yeah.
You want to be represented by one of those professors?
Well, you do hear some older folks say that, you know, these the younger generations, they don't understand to some extent what it is to deal with tough issues.
Right.
And I mean, they do in some circumstances, but, you know, we're so protective now overall that you got to go through some stuff to learn some things.
Well, I tell you, Tony, I think that I think I'm a relatively intelligent person who had a failed acting career, but I think that I've made a lot of mistakes as a parent. I really do. I adore my sons.
Yeah.
But I think that I have, you know, although I remember my father doing this with me, I think I try to solve all of their problems for mm-hmm. them. I really do.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know. Is that a generational thing? Is that something that's more about now? I feel like it's my job.
Right.
And instinctually, they come up with something and tell me what they're going through, and
right.
I try to fix it. I try
right.
to fix it.
I think.
And I'm hurting them.
Yeah, because they have to figure some of it out on their own.
Yeah.
And we do tend to be overly protective. Now, I think I am at times, but you have to let them go through some of the stuff that they go through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's hard.
Yeah. My son's only 11. I'm already kind of dreading when he's older. And, you know, his heart's going to get broken a few
yes.
times.
Yes.
It's going to happen. You know, yeah. it's going to happen. And I'm already kind of dreading it, but
it might happen to Rob Ford.
It's going
to
happen. You know?
Yeah.
Hasn't happened yet, Rob?
Well, remember, we're holding off this week.
Yes. Sorry. Can't go there. Can't go there.
He pleads the fifth.
Ah.
You know, it's easy to bleed for your children, and it's very, very hard. The thing that I find the hardest, and I'm a little obsessive. So it's very hard for me to know that they're going down a road that is really not the right road.
Mm-hmm.
And yet sometimes you need to stop them,
mm-hmm.
but sometimes you need to let them go down the wrong road.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not good at that.
Yeah.
I think Sarah's a little better at it than I am, but we both admit that we have a problem with that. We want them to know that this is a bad thing to do.
Right.
And you know, how many mistakes did you make growing up? And I made a lot of mistakes and I learned from them and I'm sure my parents wanted to solve them. But
and you know, you mentioned a moment ago that you've made mistakes as a parent. Every parent does. You know, we want it to be perfect, but it's not perfect.
It's so
not. And for, I mean, when you become a parent, it is literally on the job training. There's no preparation.
My parents always said that to me. There's no roadmap.
Right.
And it doesn't come with a user's manual.
That's right.
I'm doing the best I can.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah,
that's
I got right. that a lot.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, it is what it is. And hopefully you're cognizant of the things you're doing.
Right.
And you're able to step back and kind of weigh, all right, do I let this go a little more or do I have to step in here?
Well, here's what I do. And I don't know if anybody wants to take this advice, but
I'm going to write it down. I have a pen in my hand.
Okay, here's what I do.
Okay.
Every week or so, I put another couple of bucks in an envelope for all of the therapy they're going to need. And I'm thinking that by the time they actually get to it, I will have paid for most of the damage I've done.
So. Maybe they could call Dr. Brunswick from last week.
Well, he's very good.
He's very good. He'll work over the phone.
It's a warm lead.
Right. Good luck, kids.
Yeah.
I want to talk to you a little bit about TV shows.
Sure.
We've spent a lot of times on this show and in everyday life criticizing how bad TV is and some of the bad reality shows.
You and I used to do that on the road all the time and talk about television.
But I have to tell you something. I have recently found myself, we have mentioned this, that particularly on cable, there's been amazing Breaking Bad and some of the shows we've mentioned before, Game of Thrones.
Scripted shows. Always railing against reality TV.
I'm not enjoying
reality TV, and I walked away from it. But there is a lot going on in scripted television right now.
Even on the networks, and they're having to compete with these cable shows. I got to share some thoughts on a couple of shows. One of them is brand new, but it's on the Fox network, but I'm not saying this because I work at Fox. Have you seen Empire?
No, I just know of it, and I know that it's taking people by storm.
Fantastic show, in my opinion.
How long has it been on? Have I missed too much?
It's been on as
it premiered
of this airing,
around Christmas.
I think in January.
Okay, right after Christmas.
I think we're five episodes in now, and it is Terrence Howard, Taraji P. Henson.
Yep,
they are fantastic.
Terrence Howard's great. I love his work.
I know a lot of people who have trouble with him because of some stuff that he's gone through in his personal life.
Yeah, but you can't let that. Remember him in Crash?
Oh, he's fantastic in Crash. And did you ever see Hustle and Flow?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, it's him and Taraji.
I went out with Hustle and Flow a couple of nights ago. We had a really good time.
Well, they were great. They were a fantastic 60s cabaret act.
They were. But when the hustle went out, that's really when their career died.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. And then they became EMD and Flow.
Well, they became Ebb and Flow.
Ebb and Flow. Very good. And then they broke up, and now Flow is doing the Progressive insurance commercials.
Well, at least she falls on her feet.
Right. Yeah. That's right. Don't know what happened to Ebb. Right. But anyway, Empire, it's great. It is a hip-hop empire, a music record company that Terrence Howard is the head of.
Right.
And he's, for reasons I won't go into, he is looking to groom one of his three sons to take over the company when it's time for him to step down. And Taraji P. Henson is his ex-wife, Cookie, who did jail time. She was in jail for 17 years. She's back on the scene, wants half the company.
She wants what's coming to her.
Because she helped them build it and all that kind of stuff. And it's a primetime soap opera. It's really like, in fact, Lee Daniels and Danny Strong are the people behind it. Lee Daniels did The Butler.
Yeah, he did.
Precious.
Yes.
And he has always been a fan of Dynasty, Dallas.
Nighttime soaps.
Yeah, this is what he wanted to do. Danny Strong.
That's surprising to me based on the movies he's made.
Well, isn't it kind of funny?
Yeah.
And Danny Strong went to him and said, I have a great idea for a movie. Lee Daniels said, I would love to do this as one of those nighttime soaps because they're, all of those soaps have elements of Shakespeare in them, really.
Yes.
The classic themes, they're just played out in different environments, whether it's oil country in Texas.
Right.
Or in this case, hip hop in New York. And it's very good, very well written. It's doing great. The numbers have been fantastic. It's the first real hit scripted series that Fox has had in quite a while.
Right,
genuine, really hit status.
They were really failing because cable was winning. Cable scripted shows, and every cable network's doing them now.
Oh, this show steps right up to the line, and
that's very hard.
In some instances, has gone a little bit over the line. I'm surprised at some of the things that I've seen and heard on the show, but that's what you got to do now to be edgy.
I think that they know, and maybe even the censors know, network television was on the ropes.
Yeah.
And if they didn't offer some of what cable offers, which is freedom, they weren't going to be competing.
Well, I mean, I think they do know that.
Now, I haven't seen it, but I'll definitely take a look at it now after your recommendation. But I did read, isn't there original music that's written just for the show?
Yep, absolutely. There's a hot producer named Timbaland, who you may not know.
I wear the boots. Yeah.
Great boots.
Yeah,
yes, great.
If the TV's as good as the boots he makes, I'm going to watch.
Tread out of this world.
Timbaland is a music producer, one of the hottest ones out there.
What do I know?
And has been for a few years. That's very funny, though. And he produces most of the music for the TV show. So it's, yeah, it's new music. Some of the musicians who perform on the show, they're real musicians. Like the one guy, Hakeem, the youngest son, he's an aspiring rapper. So he's doing new raps and stuff. They're not covering old songs, and it's genuine. It's not fake, made up. You know, it's good stuff, what they can do on TV, on broadcast TV.
Right.
So the music is genuine. I think that adds to the show.
And
it's
is the music is the music then available for people to buy?
Oh, they're very smart.
And it's great marketing. Wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There, as far as I know, there's no soundtrack album out yet, but there will be. But the songs, I think, are available on iTunes.
For sure, singles.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So it's very smart.
I saw a CD that said Neil Sedaka does Empire.
That's
probably not going to do that
well. Not sure how that's going to go.
No.
But, and in 20 years, it'll be the slower versions of the songs.
That's right.
And that'll be the hit.
And next week, it'll be featured on What Were They Thinking?
You see how it all ties together?
It all comes together.
Really. Somehow, our show, which is off the top of our heads, makes a lot of sense.
Now, I want to mention a show to you. I'm late to the party on this show because it's been on for 6 or 7 years.
Mary Tyler Moore Show?
Not that late. Modern Family.
Yes.
Do you watch Modern Family? It's on ABC.
Well, you know, I'm gonna get some crap for this. I do watch it sometimes because I know Ed O'Neill, and people are gonna oh, Gary Stein knows everybody.
No,
oh boy, oh yeah.
But how about Ed on the show?
Ed is great.
He's great.
He is terrific, and he's so different than not Ted Bundy.
Al Bundy.
Al Bundy.
Ted Bundy. Yeah, no. He's different from Ted Bundy too.
And I sometime I won't do it now. I worked on a show on Broadway when Ed was so young. He was a cut-up leading man.
Really?
Muscled leading man in this Broadway show.
He's had
a tremendous career.
He's had a great career, and I'm so happy for him. Both he and who played Peg? What's that woman's name? Oh, my goodness. The woman who played his wife on Married with Children.
Katie Seigel?
Seagal.
It's Katie Seagal.
Seagal.
And she has twin sisters who also did very well.
Yeah, does she really?
Not her twin, but right. she has sisters who are twins.
Twins. Oh, yeah. I didn't know that. Are they attractive?
They are. They did a lot of work. I don't know where they all are now.
Huh. Well, she's on Sons of Anarchy, a show that just ended.
Yes.
Fantastic. I mean, I only saw a couple of episodes. She was great on that
show.
She
always seems to resurface, you know.
Well, great voice acting on Futurama as well.
Yes, that's right. Yep, she does. Yeah, she does. Yep. Yeah, that's right. That's right. The one-eyed woman.
Yep, yep.
Yeah, yeah.
Cyclops.
Yeah, the Cyclops. So, you know, great for them because Ed certainly was in danger. Well, both of them were in danger of being typecast from Married with Children.
Yes.
And now
yes.
they've had so much success afterwards in such different roles. But Modern Family, I came to it late because we carry it's in syndication now. It's been on so long.
Right.
So I started watching the reruns on Fox 5 at work. It's fantastic. I mainly see the reruns because I'm prepping for the 10 o'clock news when the show, I think the show comes on 9 or 9:30 on whatever night it does. Might be Wednesday night or Thursday night.
Or you'd be answering your email. You know.
Or answering my email. I have a lot to get through.
Yeah, yeah. Stressful to be Tony.
So I don't see the new shows as often as I see the rerun shows, but man, that is a fantastically written, very well acted show. It is wonderful.
I didn't start watching Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad.
I almost said Breaking Away. Breaking Very different away. Story.
Yes.
I didn't start watching Breaking Bad. It was like the fourth season, and everybody was talking about it, and I went and caught up.
Yeah.
And then saw every episode. And I the only other show I ever did that with was NYPD Blue.
Oh.
I waited until it was carried on FX, and I eventually seeing it from the beginning and watching every episode of that show. I loved it.
I did not watch Breaking Bad only because, you know, there are only so many shows you can watch. But I and you know what? I even know how it ended, but I want to go back and watch it because I've heard so many people say this is the best show that was ever on TV.
I think it's one of the best written and best acted shows ever.
Yeah. So I'll go back to and check that
out.
Let
me talk you through the episodes. Here, let me start right now. So the first one, here's what happens.
It's just like watching it.
Two more things real quick.
Now you're done.
One of these is going to surprise you. American Idol. Now, American Idol is in like its 14th season.
I can't do it.
Well, let me tell you, I didn't do it last year. I watched some of it. I don't think they had very good talent last year.
Right.
I was like, this show is over. Well, somehow, I started watching it this year when they came back.
Well, Connor likes it. I mean,
no, Connor, Rhonda likes it.
Oh, Rhonda
it.
Does?
Connor hates it.
Oh, he's with me.
Smart kid.
Yeah, I'll call home. I'm a gang of one on this one.
Yeah, really.
I'll call home and I'll say, what are y'all doing? And he's like, watching American Idol.
Because mom's got to watch
right,
it.
Right, right. I say, mom always watches the stuff you want to watch. You can watch this. Oh, I'm watching it.
Sarah can't sit through 5 minutes of X Factor, American Idol,
there are too
America's
many of those
Got
shows.
Talent,
The Voice,
Poughkeepsie has talent.
Too many, you too know? Many of those shows.
That's the best show.
But
Poughkeepsie
I will say this:
got talent.
They have refined this year. They're showing very little of those stupid, crazy, bad
the
acts.
Packages.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Well, no, they still show packages.
Oh, okay.
But not so much on the clown acts who aren't going to go through.
Right.
It's refocused this year on the people who really do have talent. I love Harry Connick Jr. on
yes.
the show. I like these three judges, Keith Urban, Jennifer Lopez. They were the judges last year, too,
right.
So they kept them together. I'm really into it this year. Now, I don't know that I'll stay in because it's going to depend on who the finalists are, the 16 that finally are they work with and then count down to one. If the talent's not there, I won't be into it. But so far, they've done a very good job this year.
I think I have a built-in prejudice against that show because I'm married to a singer.
Yeah.
And Sarah, you know, we've watched the shows. We've watched X Factor. I think they get to the talent faster on X Factor. At least
yeah.
they did.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't so much backstory. But so many of the people sound the same. And everybody can do that thing that started ages ago with people like Patti LaBelle, where they're mm-hmm. Vocal exercising,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and you have to be able to go to 17 different notes in the same phrase to prove that you're a great singer.
Right.
And I just think it's too similar. It's just, you know,
yeah.
when most people don't know who I'm talking about. When Linda Hopkins was singing and Patti LaBelle started off, and well, there are a lot of people who started in that vein, and now I think it's just sort of that's where people
yeah.
go,
yeah.
and that's how they're judged.
I think you're seeing less of that this year because not only Patti LaBelle and whoever Linda Hopkins is, but, you know, like the Whitney Houstons, the Mariah Careys, everyone would come out and try to do that, you know, show
yes.
that amazing range
the
and
range.
All that kind of stuff.
Even
yeah.
Whitney Houston you did that, but she was so amazing
yeah. Oh, yeah.
That I don't think people could touch her,
right,
you know?
Right, right.
But I don't know. There's a sameness to it. There's a sameness to the shows. They're all derivative now.
Oh, I agree. There are too many of them. There
yeah.
are too many of them. But so far, I'm in on American Idol this year. We'll see how it goes. I tear up at least once per episode right now. And, you know, because they do some of these backstories, and then you're just hoping, I hope this person's good. And sometimes they come out, and they did a guy, I think his name was Hollywood Anderson. Black guy, plays guitar, very different from anyone else who's been on that show. He did an original song. He's been homeless. The only person who was there for him was this older white teacher who took him under his wing. It sounds like a Hollywood movie, you know, that'll be written someday. He was fantastic.
Well, sometimes the stories are good. Like,
yeah.
I've seen homeless people, you know, who then are incredible and
yeah.
they do all of that. But the tearing up shouldn't fool our audience at all about you and how you feel about something. Because yesterday when we went to Whole Foods, you started to cry when they were out of sushi. So... I you know, that's not really a good barometer.
It's a very different kind of cry.
You know, this is the expression, he cries at supermarket openings. He cries in supermarkets. You know, just, what do you mean? There's no more celery? I can't. So, I wouldn't go by
there
that.
There wasn't a dragon roll. He had to settle for the rainbow roll.
Very emotional.
Right.
The last TV show I'm going to mention, and I was going to talk at length about this, but I'm kind of monopolizing the conversation here, so I won't. I will do it
you
another
noticed?
Time, though. The Tonight Show starring Jimmy Fallon.
Yes.
We've talked about
I know
this.
How you feel about it.
Man, this show.
You love it.
I'm going to write a letter. And Rhonda and Connor convinced me to do this.
Well, if you're going to write a letter, now it's going to be successful.
Well, no. I'm going to write a letter because, and you know this, it is coming from a Johnny Carson fan.
Yes.
Who loves The Tonight Show, period.
Yes.
I think Carson did it better than anybody else.
As do I.
Yeah. Leno, you know.
Carson light.
Carson light.
Yeah, definitely.
Very light.
Very plain red.
Very light.
Jimmy Fallon is nothing like Carson except that he's very likable.
Yes.
And everyone who comes on likes him.
Yes.
It's clear. But it's a very different show now, and I think it is the perfect show for this generation. But even I get it. I look forward to it every night. I come home, and he's doing some things, man. I'm going to tell you two things that you need to go to YouTube and look up.
Okay. I'm going to write this down.
I'm serious. Several months ago, he had Bradley Cooper on. Bradley Cooper was, and everyone has seen this now, Bradley Cooper was promoting The Elephant Man.
And they were laughing, right?
They were, yes. They couldn't keep it together. It is one of the, and smartly, the producers, they cut it down a little bit, as it turns out, but they kept it all in.
I think I was at your house. Yeah, we watched this together.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. We saw it the night that it aired.
That's right.
Yeah. I've since
we
seen
saw it.
It
happen. And we then we, happen. Remember, we rewound and we
right.
watched the whole thing over again.
That's right.
Just
That's
to
right.
see how it developed.
That's right.
Hysterical.
Hysterical and played just the right way.
And I had just said to you that I don't really like the Jimmy Fallon Tonight Show. Because I'm a Carson fanatic.
Well, listen, I'm a Carson fanatic,
and Jimmy
too.
Fallon, I have to admit, it really, it's innovative.
It is
I don't
innovative.
Think anybody brought innovation to the format.
No.
They just
Leno
did talk
didn't.
Shows.
Well, you know what? And I may have said this. Oh, yeah, this is the music.
From Studio 6B in Rockefeller Center in the heart of New York City, it's The Tonight Show, starring Jimmy Fallon.
Hey.
You know, he sounds so more much more excited than Ed McMahon ever sounded introducing Johnny.
I know. He's thrilled to be introducing him.
I know,
but it's such a different show than what The Tonight Show was because the times are different. And, you know, Jimmy does all these games and all this
yes.
stuff. Here's a thing that I will admit. Jimmy's not a great interviewer.
No.
He's not a great interviewer.
No.
But he's done so much other stuff with the show. The interviews are actually pretty short now. They're much shorter than they used to be on Carson or Leno. But there's other fun stuff going on.
Yes.
And it's a different show. It's really, really great. You got here's the other one I want you to look up. About 5 weeks ago now, Nicole Kidman was on the show.
Yeah.
So they start the thing. Jimmy, she comes out, she sits down. Jimmy says, I don't know if you remember this. We met before. She said, yes, I remember. At your apartment. He says, yes. He said, it was crazy. My friend, Josh or Rick, or I think it was Rick, called and said, dude, what are you doing right now? And I said, I'm walking down the street. Why? I got Nicole Kidman. She wants to come meet you. She, it might be. And Jimmy said, maybe you were thinking about, I forget what movie you were doing, but you were thinking maybe I could be in this movie or something. And she starts to laugh. So he tells his side of the story that, oh, man, I can't believe it. My apartment? Yeah, we're going to come over. All right, I'll be there in 10 minutes. What should I do? Well, just some cheese and wine or something. Dude, what do I buy? I don't buy cheese. What do I buy? So he buys stuff, goes to the apartment. They come over. It turns out Nicole was interested in Jimmy. She'd seen him on Saturday Night Live. Maybe he was doing The Late Show at this point. I don't know. She was interested in him.
Really?
Jimmy didn't know this and didn't know it until she says it. She said, yeah, well, Josh told me that, you know, I was single at the time. And he said, I know somebody, Jimmy Fallon. I'm like, oh, I would love to meet him. And when she said, I'm single at the time, the look on Jimmy's face of astonishment, it was.
And like, I blew it.
Like, yes.
Right?
And literally he says, what? She says, well, you know, I was, you know. We
Tom
thought
and
maybe,
I were done.
Right. Maybe we can. And he's like. What? He can't believe.
Oh, man.
It is so.
I got to watch. I will definitely watch
it. It's great. It's
definitely
great.
Definitely
yeah,
watch
seen
that.
It?
Yeah,
seen it?
His eyes were wide shut.
He can't believe it. And he. This is what you'll appreciate.
That was a good joke. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Eyes wide shut.
Yeah, very good.
Nicole Kidman, Tom
Cruise.
They
can't all be winners.
Give yourself
they
a ding.
Make a ding hat.
Give yourself a ding. That is a good joke. Yeah. He plays it funny. He's like Carson would. He instantly turns it into, I dated Nicole Kidman? And the joke is, no, you didn't, because you blew it.
Oh,
you
man.
Had one date, and she says, oh, you're mumbling. You weren't really talking to me. So I was nervous. I didn't know this was a thing. She said, you actually started playing video games.
So the band is like, you nerd.
Right. The audience is like, wah, wah. You got to watch it.
It is so funny.
We'll put a link up to it if we can.
Oh, that's great.
It is great. So I'm going to write it because the letter is going to be, I want to tell you something. You have won over a diehard Johnny Carson Tonight Show fanatic. And this is major. If you've won me over, this is major.
All right. I have to start watching, because I watch isolated pieces, things you that you talk about, and I don't really give it much of a chance.
It's very funny, and he's a very funny person. So check
all right.
it out.
Anyway, I will do that. I will do that.
Yeah, that's my little TV talk.
Okay. Well, doesn't that lead right into movie talk?
Yeah. I guess we should very quickly, because the Oscars now, this show is debuting on Valentine's Day.
Yes.
So the Oscars are next Sunday night, I think. The 20th.
Yes, I believe so. 22nd.
Yeah. So Sunday coming up. I have not seen all the movies. I've seen some of them.
I've seen many.
Let me go down the list. Tell me what you've seen. Have you seen American Sniper?
No.
The Imitation Game?
Yes.
Birdman?
Yes.
Selma?
No.
Boyhood?
Yes.
Yeah. The Theory of Everything?
I don't like the way you said that. It makes me uncomfortable.
No, I like
Boyhood. Yeah. It sounds a little creepy
to
me.
A little creepy.
Boyhood. Wow. Or, you know, I also like that movie about a boy. That was a good film.
Yeah, I like those. The Grand Budapest Hotel?
Not yet.
Not yet. Whiplash.
No.
No, I want to see that. So you've seen more than me. Of the movies you've seen, and even of the movies you haven't seen, because you're pretty good at this. What do you think is going to win?
Oh, boy, Tony. You know what? I watched most of the Oscar contenders, and what you didn't include there was...
These are the best picture nominees.
Yes. Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, you're going to try to help me from going to the wrong place. I saw The Judge, which I thought was...
Robert Duvall.
Robert Downey Jr. was amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
What I'm talking about here is that some of the movies that were not nominated are the ones that I felt were the better movies.
Oh, yeah.
So I liked Birdman a lot.
Me too.
I thought a lot of the allegorical elements of the movie could have been cut back a little bit because it was so... I don't know.
It wasn't what I expected.
What I felt was when you do that a lot in a film, I feel like you're not sure you have enough meat. If you just tell the story.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it bothered me, but Sarah liked it. We both liked it a lot.
Yes.
But we weren't sure that it was the best.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Look, in some ways, The Imitation Game,
which I haven't seen yet.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very, very good. But I don't know if I consider that to be best movie.
Yeah.
The Theory of Everything?
Uh-huh.
Loved it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
What movie did you see that you thought maybe should have been nominated but was not? The Judge? Is that one that you think the movie?
No, the movie with Julianne Moore.
Still Alice. Yeah.
That movie was incredibly painful to watch because her performance was magnificent. Now, maybe it's just that she deserves the Oscar and maybe it's not a best movie. But I saw Cake.
Yeah,
I thought was really good.
Mm-hmm.
Not a best picture.
No.
I'm having a very hard time with the best picture category
this
year.
I'm going to predict. And I'm very good at this for some reason. Even in years that I have not seen all the movies, I'm able to kind of assume the role of the Academy.
That doesn't carry over to our trips to Atlantic City.
No, sadly it does not. Okay. I'm going to predict Birdman.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'm predicting Birdman too, but I'm only predicting it because...
That one's not out yet. Birdman 2.
you got me.
I want a ding. Oh, I got a rim shot. Wow. Fantastic.
Yeah, Birdman 2 will be with Val Kilmer.
That's good.
And it'll completely unravel with George Clooney in Birdman 3.
Right, right. But then it'll make a big comeback with Christian Bale.
Yeah.
So
very nice, boys.
Right,
very
right,
nice.
Right. Well done. I think that because of the hype... And because of Michael Keaton's performance.
He's
and Edward
incredible.
Norton is amazing
oh,
in that.
Oh, they're both
He's
fantastic.
Amazing.
Yeah.
But I was left a little dissatisfied
Let
when the movie
you.
Was over. Let I won't give anything away at the end of the movie, you know, where it's Edward Norton. I just did not think that it had that thing that made it a best film.
I think the Academy likes that kind of thing, the allegorical stuff. I think it was very... When I heard about the movie, I thought it would be just a pretty much straight-told story, a very linear story and all of that. That's what I expected.
Right.
Rhonda watched it before me, and she told me it gets very, you know... metaphorical and all
yes.
this, and I thought, oh, I kind of wish they hadn't done that. It doesn't really need it. But then I watched it. I loved it. I I didn't expect to love it as much as I did.
Birdman?
Birdman.
Did you have questions when it was over that you had to ask yourself?
Well, and it is.
I don't like that.
I know you don't like that. No. And it is one of those movies. It leaves it. I mean, I've had discussions with several people. We'll have one off air so we don't ruin it for anybody. But
they wonder what he did with himself.
Yeah, you can't say exactly what happened at the end of that movie.
And it's not like I need everything to be so linear. I don't really feel that way.
Right.
But I don't want a movie to make me work that hard.
I know.
And,
I know.
And you know, I've said this many times. I want to enjoy it and sit back and relax. And it doesn't mean I don't want to think.
Sure,
I'm good with that. Right. You know, I have a little tiny brain. But
a bird brain?
Oh,
Rob!
Boy. Rob, stop, stop stealing
Rob
the show,
is all
Rob.
For his own show now.
Really?
This is terrible.
The Rob Ford Show featuring Tony Perkins and sometimes with Gary Stein. I don't want to work that hard. I want to be entertained, but I can be entertained by something complicated.
Yeah.
But if it's that allegorical where it leaves it wide open to interpretation, for some reason, that always bothers me.
Yeah. I have my interpretation of it, which I thought, okay, I think I figured it out. And then someone else said, oh, no, I think this. And I was like, wow.
Oh, I want to hear what you
deep.
Think off air later. Yeah.
All right.
When we go out for Valentine's Day.
Which we should do. Actually, we should do it momentarily because we're almost out of... We're pretty much out of time.
How can we be?
I know. Look, that's how much time we've spent.
No way.
Yeah.
No way. I didn't get to anything.
Well, what do you want to do? You want to do something? Let's do... do something.
Well, I guess we could go longer. You know, people don't seem to mind if we have a long show.
They'll tell us.
The Valentine's Day special. I
like
the sound of that.
Valentine's Day special.
Well,
let me write
it doesn't really lead into the one thing that I was going to talk about, which...
You pick what you want to do.
Oh, man, I'm really not sure.
My pen doesn't work.
That isn't what I was thinking.
No, I know, but it's...
Okay.
I just blurt out whatever's happening to me.
I was going to do another kind of really uncomfortable moment with the stars.
Oh, good. Do that.
Really? Do
is
that?
Is it long?
Well...
The story?
I can't make it... I am Jewish. I can't make any story short.
Well,
I'm
going to
try.
True.
I'll try. Okay. All right. So
I'm going to time you. I'm not going to press you, but I just want to see how long it is.
All right. Say ready, set, go.
Okay. Ready, set, go.
Say ready, set, go.
It's already long.
I've already eaten up the time. Okay. So this is good because it's a follow up.
Okay.
I did for our really loyal viewers. I did tell a story about being at Jane Fonda's house and inappropriately playing a game along with her guests and being sort of extricated.
That's still one of my favorite stories.
So you know, I played the Easy Monet game. Remember? Yeah. So, but there was either I can't really remember.
Let me just say one thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
If you have not, because we have some new listeners now.
Yes.
If you haven't heard that story, I don't know what episode it is. Look, go to TonyPerkinsShow.com. Just read through the descriptions. It's where Gary tells a story about Jane Fonda. It is a very funny story. You have to listen to
it. The reason why I have stories about Jane Fonda is because in my failed acting career, I did a lot of bartending before I switched to photography.
Right.
And I was a fairly regular bartender at Jane's house.
Yes. Okay.
So that story was one thing.
Yeah.
And then there was another rather uncomfortable story in a very different way. So I was, I don't think I was bartending. I actually think I was helping make a dinner.
Okay.
For, at the time, you have to keep track of who she was married to. So at the time, Jane Fonda was married to Tom Hayden.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Politician, part of the Chicago 7.
Yeah. Well,
do people even know what that is? It was part of the anti-war protesting.
Yeah,
and
yeah, I mean, you could not have a more liberal couple than Jane Fonda and Tom Hayden. Yeah, which they got a lot of hate about at that time. And even today, there are people who still hate Jane Fonda for...
Hanoi Jane,
Hanoi
yes.
Jane, that's
and,
right.
And
yeah.
People who hate Tom I don't really, you know, I don't know what he's up to anymore.
But
because of the story I'm going to tell you, I don't care.
Okay.
I don't care what he's doing. So one thing that was always true if you worked inside the house, if you were a house slave,
if you weren't
in the field, that was handled by other people.
Right.
But if you were lucky enough to be a house slave, which is how I felt about this job with my crooked bow tie, and, you know, I'm working in the kitchen wanting to be an actor, feeling like I couldn't be more of a loser.
Right.
And there was one thing you always had to be careful of. They had a dog. They had a German Shepherd. You know, this dog had relatives that chased my relatives in Europe. This was a Nazi dog.
Yeah.
You know, this it was really a very dangerous, attack dog, and maybe they felt like it was necessary to have that at the Fonda Hayden House.
Mm-hmm.
So when people came over, the dog was put in the laundry room.
Okay.
And of course, the mandate was never go in the laundry room.
Right.
So I never did.
Right.
And the dog was terrifying. And you know, sometimes you hear the dog scratching and you knew he wasn't doing laundry.
Right.
You know, he was in there, but don't ever go in.
Right.
So I would often change my clothes into my performance clothes, which involved an apron and a bow tie and some...
You must have hated that.
I hated every... I mean, you know, my...
poor guy.
I have somewhat of an ego. I have a little ego, and that was really hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard to be an actor and to have to do those jobs.
Yeah, yeah.
So this particular party, I'm working in the kitchen, and I changed in the bathroom and left my clothes there because no people who were guests at the house would use the bathroom off the kitchen. The kitchen was closed off.
Right.
So the evening is ending, and Tom and Jane both announced we're going up to bed. Tom was nice.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I'm going up to bed, you know, lock up and do your thing. And
it's you and a couple other people, crew members.
Me and, right. I was the crew chief because I was there so often.
Right.
And it was me and it was two other people. And he just said to me, you know what? We're both really tired. We're going up to bed now. Just take care of everything. I said, no problem, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes up. So the evening is over. We've done the dishes and all the other stuff that we had to do and put everything away. And I walk into the bathroom to get my clothes. And guess who's there?
The dog?
The monster.
Oh.
And he goes, rawr! And he rushes to the door.
Was it Bigfoot or German Shepherd?
Well, to me, it was King Kong.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care how big he was. I knew he was going to bite some really valuable parts. And I wouldn't have anything left. And it was, you know, I was in trouble as it was. So anyway... I grab my clothes and I didn't see the dog. So I grab the clothes and the dog comes from behind the toilet or something and sees me and the eyes bulge out of his head and he rushes and I just get the door closed as he smashes up against it.
Oh.
And I'm going like, and I hear this on the stairs. Coming down the stairs, Tom is enraged. What did you mean going into the bathroom, like screaming at me? What do you mean going into the bathroom in the when you know you can't go in the room that the dog... I thought you knew the dog was moved to the bathroom, so how could you do that? And I said, now I'm me, okay?
Right.
I've been the guy wearing the bow tie and being kind of aggravated that I'm a peon and working a menial job, you know, in the fields and in the kitchen as a house slave. And now I'm angry, which is not a good thing.
Right.
And I figured, it's true, I believe this is the time when I was not asked back. And I was so angry that he didn't care if I got hurt.
Right.
He was just upset that I woke them up.
Disturbed
the dog.
Right.
And I said to him, you know what you really need to ask me? And he said, what? I said, it's probably a really good idea that you find out if I'm okay. Because I was almost attacked in Jane Fonda's house. And I'm looking at him like with daggers in my eyes.
Right.
I was almost attacked by the dog, by your dog, in Jane Fonda's house. And I barely got out of the bathroom. And God knows what would have happened. I hope I'm okay because I feel really, really upset.
Wow.
And he looked at me and he said, oh, yeah, are you okay? Is everything okay? And I said, I think so, but I'm not really sure. I'm really not sure. I'm very shaken up.
Wow.
I think I almost got killed.
Wow.
Listen, sit down. Sit down for a second. Do you need something to drink? And I'm thinking, yes, serve me. Serve
You're
me.
You're milking it.
Make me a drink. You know what? I feel like having a souffle. You know? So I said, look, I think I need to sit down because I'm not sure I can drive. And so now he's completely flipped from I'm enraged, who the hell do you think you are, to... this could be the next cover of many magazines, you know, and I'm saying I was holding my chest and I said, and I was fine.
And your acting career failed? This is fantastic.
and the other people were like gathered around me, you know, the people that were still working there.
Right.
And I said, let me just take a couple of deep breaths. Now Jane comes down.
Uh-oh.
And Tom says, Yeah, unfortunately, Gary opened the door and he almost got really, really hurt. But I think he's fine. And Jane, are you okay? I said, I think so. Yes, I just need a minute, you know, to collect myself and make sure Tom understands that he dodged a bullet. And, you know, finally I got myself together and I got up and I left and I said to Tom, look, I'm okay, but if you want, I can certainly call in when I get home. He said, no. If there's a problem, call.
Right.
But we're going to assume that you're fine.
Right.
And I said, yeah, me too. I think I'm okay.
Wow.
And I left and I thought, you son of a.
Wow. Yeah, because the first thing is, and isn't that, that's always the case in that kind of thing. It's never about, you know, what it should be about.
Yeah. Am I all right? You know? I mean, don't you want to know if I'm okay?
Right, doesn't even think of that.
He didn't know whether or not the dog bit me. Really. He didn't know that I got out before, just
man,
in time.
If one of the other guys that you were working with had thrown some ketchup on your arm.
That would now you're thinking.
Yeah. Where's the ketchup?
Hey, I got a movie title. 10 Minutes a Slave. What do you think? You think that'll fly?
I think it's a hit.
I don't think that'll be on the Oscar list
next
year.
No.
10 Minutes a Slave. The horrible ordeal.
at the Hayden Fonda home.
Featuring Gary Stein, of course.
Featuring Gary Stein.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. He never wins.
No.
I don't get no respect.
Oh, my God.
And you were never asked back.
No, I wasn't.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Because probably the next morning he's like, I'm not having this guy.
I can't take a chance that he's going to make the same mistake again.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
and upset our dog. I think the dog had to go to a shrink the next day. You know?
That's right.
What the hell was that Jew doing walking in the bathroom?
Don't they know the rules?
Yeah.
Doesn't he know my history?
Exactly. This is the problem we had in the 40s.
Now, do you have a thing against German shepherds because, you know, they're German?
Well,
I don't know that they're German.
Well, you know, I wouldn't have married Sarah. She's half German.
Oh, okay.
So,
all right.
But the answer is yes. I would never own a German shepherd.
Really? But you married a half German woman.
Yeah, but she doesn't look like a shepherd. No. Well, I mean, you know, Sarah's English. She's French. She's her mother is German.
And a German shepherd only did what it was trained to do.
Yes. Yes. So
you can't blame the whole breed.
No. And I guess the German army only did what they were trained to do. The Nazis only did what they were trained to do.
They weren't
really at fault.
Yeah, we're going
you
back
know,
to
the
that
German
argument.
People had no idea what was going on.
I understand. All right, on that note.
Kind of a weird thing to go out on.
And another thing.
On the Valentine's Day episode.
I don't eat any German chocolates.
This man holds a grudge, let me tell you.
Clearly.
You know, if you get me flowers, don't buy Edelweiss.
We thank you all for listening to the show.
And another thing.
Rob, thank you for being here and for your witty self.
Thank you.
Tone it back a little bit.
Don't get me a Doberman.
We're going to lose it.
I wouldn't have a Doberman either.
We're going to lose you is what I mean. And Gary, thank you for being here as always.
Are you sure?
I'm not sure anymore. do we don't have anyone to thank for the show, right?
No.
No. Okay, great. All right.
You can thank Michael Mira if you want.
Well, we always thank Michael Mira. All hail Michael Mira.
Bow down.
Yeah. We will see you on the next episode, folks. Thanks a lot.
Take care.
The Tony Perkins Show, a more broadcasting presentation. This is Dude Walker speaking. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.